at the edge of his crib, his brown curls pointing in every direction as he shakes at the bars like a jailbird. "Here, sweetie." I unscrew the large lid from the jar and pull out a squishy red fish. He reaches for it, looks at it curiously, and promptly brings it to his mouth. The fish is much too big to fit past his lips, a fact that will hopefully puzzle him long enough to allow me to finish dressing. "Mommy has to get ready for work. I'll be back in just a few minutes." I place the jar in the corner of the crib so he can extract additional fish to manipulate as necessary, and then I dash back to my room. I realize I'm still holding the blankie. It's the one Nick's aunt and uncle sent, a soft chenille square with Wyatt's Hebrew name embroidered along one side. I know that the white threading spells out Yehuda, a name we chose in an effort to honor my deceased grandfather, but I never learned how to actually read the boxy Hebrew letters. I toss the blankie onto my dresser and quickly towel dry my hair, hoping my own curls won't resemble Wyatt's ridiculous bedhead after this hasty personal grooming session. I have 25 minutes to get to Bed Bath & Beyond on the other side of town, and if Nick doesn't get home within the next 5 minutes, my manager is going to chew me out 6 ways to Sacramento. I pull on a pair of black jeans, my last clean pair, and rummage in the next drawer to see if I can find a tunic long enough to cover the small hole at the top of one of the pant legs. I hear myself sigh as I run the numbers in my head again. At $9 an hour, it's delusional to think about saving up money, to imagine returning to college. It's a joke to have any dreams at all. Wyatt suddenly lets out a frustrated wail. "Mommy's coming, Wyatt!" I shout into the air. "Just one more second!" I flip on my black sneakers and scurry back into the nursery. Wyatt's diaper is bulging against his tight little pajama pants. At the sound of keys jingling in the front door of the apartment, I scoop him out of the crib, grab my purse from where it's sitting on our coffee table, and meet Nick as he walks in the door. "Sorry for the stinky welcome," I offer as I hold Wyatt out in his direction. "Hey, kid." Nick smiles and reaches for our son with one hand, a bag full of takeout containers hanging from the other. "Oh," he adds, wrinkling his nose. "Gotta go." My keys are in my hand, and I'm placing a brisk kiss on Nick's cheek. The scent of garlic and cilantro is strong as I push past him and out the front door. Then I'm flying down the concrete steps toward the parking lot below our building, heading toward my 92 Honda, rushing against the clock, racing against luck. When I come skidding through the doorway of BB&B at exactly 4:01 p.m., my co-workers, Kim and Dougie, are chatting across their registers, and they don't even look up. The store is unusually empty for a Thursday afternoon. I set my tote bag beneath the register at my station and punch in a few numbers to awaken the machine. Cynthia, my manager, is nowhere to be seen. "Why is it so quiet?" I call across to Kim, whose register is 3 stations over from my own. The ones between us are always empty at this time of day.
"Post-holiday lull,"
Dougie answers from the register beyond Kim's. Dougie is in his early 30s and is the most senior employee among us, having worked here for 3 years, ever since he moved to Arizona from Tulsa. An elderly woman walks into the store with a list in her hand. We stop our chatting and watch silently as she makes her way toward the first aisle, where a wealth of toasters and smaller kitchen gadgets await. We're still quiet when Cynthia appears from behind the displays of holiday-themed wrapping paper and gift bags, now all on sale, and begins making her way toward me. "So dead today," she says by way of greeting, and she glances around the store for emphasis. I stand a little taller as she approaches me, noting that her bleached hair looks freshly blown. If I'm lucky, that means she has somewhere else to be and won't spend the whole night breathing down my neck. "What's dinner?" She tips her head toward my stowed tote. "Pulled beef burritos and Mexican street corn," I answer, remembering what Nick told me last night as he was cramming the takeout containers from the restaurant into the fridge. Cynthia has so many self-imposed